Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is an episode of On the Couch with Windy. That's me. This is a podcast which we usually put out behind the Patreon paywall, but in this instance, I'm putting it on the main podcast feed for reasons I'll come on to in a moment. The concept behind the podcast is that we have a really fascinating Discord community, and so I'm kind of working my way through them one by one, interviewing them to talk about their lives. And in this case, I spoke to Dakota, who has had some major health troubles in the past year, and I felt like it needed to be heard by a wider audience, and the reasons for that will become clear as we speak. There is a trigger warning for people who have health-related anxiety. I can imagine this could be a tough listen for you if you fall into that category, so listen with caution. If, like me, you are moved by Dakota's story, you might feel like you want to make a charitable donation after listening, so I will put the details of relevant charities in the show notes. I hope you enjoy this as much as you can enjoy listening to something of this subject matter. Dakota tells the story so brilliantly. He's a great person, and yeah, I'm just so glad he's okay. So I'm back on the couch once more. This time it's a slightly different episode because we have a narrative, which is intriguing. I'm with the City Man. Hello, how's it going?
It's good. It's good, doing good. I don't know if I already mentioned this to you, but I'm getting married on Saturday. So I've been kind of like running around like a chicken with my head cut off doing last minute wedding things. I was a little late responding to you because I just got my hair cut and it took longer than anticipated. And we're, you know, trying to figure out how to get guests to and from the venue and, you know, figuring all the last minute stuff out. So that's a lot less, less fun than I anticipated.
But you've got a lot going on now. I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah.
It just means that I appreciate you taking the time to do this even more than I would have done.
Oh no. More than happy.
It's great to have you on. Are you happy to say what your actual name is?
Yeah. So my name is Dakota, Silly Man, which is my real last name. It's not a joke. It's not, I think a lot of people on the Discord think it's just like my nickname, my handle, but it's my real last name. I like to joke that, I'm going to change my name to the, or my middle name to the, because it just suits me so well. It's a fun little thing. I'm the real silly man.
And is the person you're getting married to planning to take your last name?
She is not. We had some conversations, to be honest. Like I don't really care. Like my mom didn't take my dad's last name. My fiance is pretty attached to her last name, so I was just like, you know, it wasn't really a thing. Like I never really expected it, just because of the way my last name is. And she was like, "Is it okay if I keep my last name?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course, it doesn't matter."
Nice. That's a good compromise. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the reason there's narrative to this is, well, I'll let you tell it from the start. Something pretty major to happen to you. You got diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. Can you talk us through, I guess, from the start when you realized something wasn't quite right?
Yeah. So it's funny. It was probably a little less than a year ago, maybe even a year ago, you know, this week or so, but probably late July, early August of 2020, I was noticing I was having just a ton of like back pain and like kind of muscle stuff. And I, you know, I'd been playing pickup soccer, kind of stopped, you know, because the pandemic was, you know, had been ramping up and stuff. But I had played, you know, just a couple times, and I was like, you know, I must have pulled something. And I realized, you know, we're spending a lot of time in the apartment just sitting on the couch because it's a pandemic. But I had just been noticing, like, whenever I stood for more than a couple minutes, my back would just, you know, destroy me. My kind of lower back on the left side. And here's where it gets a little graphic. So I woke up one day and I just noticed that my left testicle was like the size of a softball, just like huge and really hard. And like, just, you know, something was not right with it. And, you know, it was the pandemic. So I was like, I have no idea what to do. You know, I was like, this is so, you know, it's my testicle. I don't really want to be like talking to people about it. It's kind of embarrassing. You know, I don't want to be like rushing to the hospital because it's a pandemic ever. You know, the hospitals are crazy packed and, you know, who knows what the deal is. So finally, I think I called a telehealth service. I just like through my insurance, there's like, I found a telehealth appointment, and I, you know, after like 2.5 hours of waiting to talk to someone, I finally talked to someone. I was like, hey, you know, I'm having this problem with my testicle. I've also been having weird back pain. Like, what should I do? You know, should I just try to make an appointment with my primary care? Is there like, can I get some antibiotics or something? And, they basically said, you need to get to an urgent care right now. Because it sounds like testicular torsion, which is like when the testicle becomes like twisted, and it can be, you know, you have to get it removed real quick, and it can, you know, cause a bunch of other problems. So I was like, oh no. So I think it was like a Sunday afternoon. By the time I talked to them, it was like almost 6 o'clock. I live in Chicago, and I couldn't find any urgent cares open except the one on the far north side, like probably a good hour and a half away from me. So I made an appointment at the urgent care, drove an hour and a half, got to the urgent care, and the people in front of me, like, definitely, I don't know if I can't confirm they have COVID, but like, they were coughing and like were sweaty. And I was just like, I don't know if I can handle this right now. Like, I don't know if I want to, you know, be inside this building with this person in front of me. And like I could tell the staff was really stressed, and like, there was a ton of people in the waiting room and stuff. And my appointment had been for like, you know, I made it for 8 o'clock or something, and they closed it 9, I think. And I was in the waiting room till 9:15. And finally they brought me back, and the doctor was like, drop your pants, I'll take a look, we'll figure it out. I dropped my pants. She didn't even need to like touch it or feel. She was like, you need to go to the ER right now. And I was like, what? She was like, you got to go to the ER right now. Like, I can't do anything about this, but something is very wrong. So I was like, at this point, I was like kind of starting to freak out. You know, I got lucky because I didn't Google anything. Like, I didn't try to figure out what it was on my own before I went to the doctor. I was just like, oh, it's probably an infection, I'll go to the doctor. But she was like, you need to go to the ER. And I was like, well, I have terrible insurance. ER visits are so expensive. I have no idea how I'm going to make that happen. So I like literally was trying to call my insurance to figure out what ER I could go to that would be covered. And since it was, you know, 9 o'clock on a Sunday or Saturday, whatever it was, my insurance wasn't open. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go to the nearest one and figure it out. And I remember driving there, and Chicago's roads are terrible. There's like potholes everywhere. I'm driving there and being in like so much discomfort every time I went over a pothole, and just being like, this sucks. So got to the ER. They did, you know, waited in the ER forever, just for so long, probably till, you know, midnight or so. Finally got in a room. They did an ultrasound, and they were just like, we don't know what it is, but you need to have your testicle taken out very soon. And I was like, okay, all right. And they're like, we're going to give you some antibiotics, but we're going to set you up with a urologist, and you need to see this urologist like as soon as humanly possible, because there's a chance it's cancer. And I was like, that's not good. And I asked him about the back pain, and when I asked about the back pain, I could see the nurse, her like face just like fell. And she was like, it could be radiating pain. Like, don't worry about it. It might just be radiating pain. I was like, okay, whatever. So went home, like, told my fiance, told my parents, and was just kind of like, hey, I have this problem going on. They gave me antibiotics, but I got to go see a urologist and they're probably going to have to take it out. Didn't want to say cancer quite yet, but was just kind of like, you know, had that in the back of my mind. Got to the urologist, called the urologist the next day. He didn't have any appointments for like a week or so. Made an appointment for the week or so. Was like, okay, I got to check with all my insurance, make sure this urologist is covered, blah, blah, blah. So I called my insurance. I told them the urologist's name, told them the hospital. And they're like, yes, we cover that hospital. Should be covered. No problem. Get to the urologist and the urologist is like, oh, your insurance doesn't cover us. And I'm like, wait, I called my insurance. They said they cover you. They said they cover the hospital. They're like, oh, well, they cover the hospital, but he's even though we're in the hospital, his plan is separate from the hospital's plan. So it's going to be $400 or something, you know, something ridiculous like that. And I was like, okay, I guess I have to cancel this appointment and wait longer. And then the urologist like came out and was like, hey, you can't, you gotta see me. Like, there's just like the ER sent me your information. They said like, you need to be seen right away. Like, this could be really serious. Like, I'm sorry, just like pay it and we'll figure something out later. We'll figure out a plan or something or whatever. So I paid it. I saw him and he was like, yeah, we got to take it out in a couple days. Like, I'm going to schedule you for my next surgery slot. It's probably cancer. We won't know until the biopsy comes back, but you need to like be prepared for that. And I was not prepared for that. So went and had the surgery, which the initial surgery actually where they just take out one testicle is actually not bad at all. It's called an orchiectomy. It's a really quick surgery. They release you the same day. You don't have to like stay overnight in the hospital or anything like that. And by, you know, like you have some soreness, but like by, you know, a week later, you're back to complete normal, like no problem. So that's really nice. And one of the reasons I wanted to come on is because, if you are smarter than I am and more prepared than I am and you check yourself, you know, for lumps and bumps and anything kind of weird going on, with your testicles, you can catch it early. And all you would have to do, even if you have, you know, the most aggressive cancer, if you can catch it early, all you need to do is get it taken out. All you need to do is have the first surgery. For me, I wasn't that lucky. I didn't check myself. I waited till, you know, I had back pain and I had really severe symptoms. So after the orchiectomy, we got, you know, there's just, it's like everything goes fast and slow at the same time. So, they like do a bunch of tests, your biopsy comes back, they hook you up with an oncologist, which luckily for me was right downstairs from like literally the first floor of the same hospital building. And so I had all my CT scans, they do x-rays, they do blood tests, they do, you know, you get every scan they could possibly do. And then you wait, you know, you have like 2 days where you get all these tests done and then you have to wait for all the results. And I think that was probably one of the hardest parts is just waiting. And I remember I was, at the time my fiance, was going to school for, to become a massage therapist. So she was in school all day. So I was, you know, just sitting around waiting. And I remember I was like walking around on the street trying to, I think maybe going to the grocery store or something. And my fiance was supposed to pick me up. And it was like my oncologist called with the results. And like, I couldn't hear her. And my fiance was calling because she was around the corner and all this stuff. And I just remember my oncologist saying like, oh, it's spread. We found, you know, cancer. You have a large mass in your lymph nodes. You have spots in your lungs. We need to get you a brain scan to make sure it hasn't gone to your brain, just all this stuff. And she didn't say this, but what I heard was stage 4. And I remember getting off the phone, my fiance, like I finally found her car, just getting in the car and just bawling my eyes out and just like losing it. Like I'm gonna, you know, I'm a goner, and all this stuff. So my fiance, you know, who I cannot say enough amazing things about, during this process, just like, I wouldn't be here without her. Just like calmed me down, was like, we're going to figure this out. Your appointment with the oncologist to see them in person is, you know, in 2 days, you'll get more answers then, that kind of stuff. So had 2 days.
Can I just pause you there, Dakota? This is so, I mean, you're telling this story so beautifully and there's so much to take in. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to follow up on a couple of the points because I feel like there's like another chunk of the story to go. And I want to just touch on a couple of the points that you've mentioned early on, because mm-hmm. I mean, some of this is just absolutely mind blowing. The stuff you've been through in such a short space of time is mind blowing. I want to kind of go back. Firstly, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
Oh, I am 28. So at the time I was 27, now I'm 28.
And I would imagine that that's quite young to have testicular cancer.
Well, so actually that's another reason why I kind of asked to come on. So the age range and the kind of demographic for a testicular cancer is from ages 15 to 40.
Wow.
In anyone that has anyone that has testicles. It's really funny. There's a couple, trans people on the testicular cancer Reddit group. So at first, you know, and all the language about testicular cancer is all about, oh, men, but it's not, it's further than that. So literally anyone, if you're between the ages of 15 and 40, you're at risk. And I've met some, you know, I'd say late 20s is actually probably the norm.
Wow.
At least in the kind of discussions I have. And there's people active in the kind of testicular cancer community as young as 15, 16 years old. So it is, that's one of the reasons is like our demographic for people that I want to get checking themselves and paying attention to this stuff is kind of the age range of, you know, 15 to 40, which kind of is right in line with the age range of, you know, Spurs fans and people that listen to the podcast and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely insane to me. I had no idea. And I'm interested. So you went from having back pains to what the way you phrased it, I woke up and my left testicle was the size of a softball.
Yep.
And to you, did it feel like that happened overnight? And in reality, what's the likelihood that actually happened quite quickly, or would that have built up over a long period of time?
Well, so for me, it definitely felt like an overnight thing. It was literally like I never noticed any, you know, I wasn't someone that was, you know, like conscious of, oh, I need to be doing tests, I need to be, you know, making sure there aren't any lumps, that sort of thing. I wasn't paying attention until I got the pain. And the back pain, you know, I just put it off as, you know, pulled something playing pickup in the park or something. Until I kind of like woke up and I was like, wow, my left testicle hurts. And then I kind of felt it. And then I was like, oh, something's definitely wrong. So in reality, even though I did have one of the faster, more aggressive types, in reality, it probably started with a lump on my left testicle that I just ignored or didn't notice at all. And then kind of as it, you know, over the course of a few months or a few weeks, or they can't really tell me. I've asked a couple times, like, oh, how long did I have this before I found it? And it's like, there's no particular way to tell, but it was probably a while. It kind of got, you know, more and more, it grew and grew and spread and spread, you know, like I said, I didn't spread to my brain, luckily, but I had, you know, spread all in my lymph nodes, a few had spots in my lungs, that sort of thing. So it was, even though I had one of the more aggressive varieties of testicular cancer, it was probably still doing work for a while before, you know, I noticed it. And I could have saved myself a lot of trouble if I had been, you know, hey, I'm taking a shower, I got to clean down there, I need to, you know, kind of give myself a little exam, make sure everything feels all right. And that's what I want people to take away from this is like, hey, you guys, you know, we're mostly young guys, you know, late 20s, early 30s, maybe late 30s, doesn't matter. You know, we kind of feel maybe a little invincible, or I felt a little invincible until this, but it's an easy thing to do. There's lots of guides online of how to do it. You know, just if you Google search, you know, testicular cancer self-exam or, you know, testicle self-exam, you'll find it's really easy to do in the shower. You just kind of like, you know, check yourself. It takes a minute. You just do it, you know, maybe once a month, you know, just while you're taking a shower, cleaning up down there. And you could really save yourself a lot of trouble.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Because even though testicular cancer is relatively rare, it's one of the most common cancers in young men. And the rates of testicular cancer in young men or young people with testicles are going up. So it is really important to, like, you know, and it's an easy thing to do. Just like I said, once a month in the shower, cleaning up down there, just take a minute and kind of poke around. And, you know, if you find something weird, maybe ask a doctor about it. If you don't, great. You know,
I really appreciate you saying that, all that stuff. It's such an important issue. If you don't mind, if you can, like, pick up where you left off before, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but I just wanted to before I lost track of what I wanted to follow up on. So, so you'd had this call, this horrendous phone call telling you that there are other signs of cancer elsewhere in your body. Mm-hmm. What happened after that?
So had, you know, 2 days, maybe a few days. I don't know. It's hard to remember this time because it's kind of like blocked out a little bit.
Sure.
But had a few days of just like being at home, like worrying, being like, I'm going to die. What am I doing? You know, what goes on? You know, I'm this late stage. It's in my lungs. It's going to take over my body, blah, blah, blah. And luckily for me, I found a great community on Reddit. There's a testicular cancer subreddit that's super, just amazing, helpful, really great community. Just like everyone is so supportive. Everyone has really good information, good advice, can kind of tell you what to expect and stuff. So I during this kind of waiting period, I found that and people kind of calmed me down. I was like, oh, my doctor said stage four. And they're like, hey, there is not really a stage for testicular cancer. That's one of the good things. If you get a cancer, you know, testicular cancer is one of the ones, if that's a little better, the outlook is quite positive in comparison to some other cancers. Not to say that there aren't, you know, people who die from testicular cancer. There've been a couple people that I've, you know, conversed with on Reddit who ended up either a couple people have passed away. A couple people are, you know, doctors have told them, hey, like, go, there's nothing else we can do. Go do your bucket list type thing. But overall, even in the later stages, in most cases, it's very, very curable. So that calmed me down. You know, I went from being, I'm going to die freaking out to, hey, you know, this sucks, you know, but the doctors are going to take care of you. You're going to be all right in all likelihood. So had my oncologist appointment and they were like, okay, we're going to get you started on chemo, you know, right away. The standard chemotherapy for testicular cancer is called, people call it 3XBEP because it's three rounds of a chemo cocktail that's bleomycin, cisplatin, and the platin is with the P, and etoposide. So they give you three cycles. Each cycle, I think, is a month, 3 weeks or a month. And it's three pretty intense drugs. So started chemotherapy during, you know, like right in the midst of the pandemic, which was really hard because, you know, it's I couldn't have anyone with me in the hospital. I couldn't have anyone with me, you know, in the chair while I was getting the chemo. My partner had to, you know, she had to stop going to school. She was going to school to become a massage therapist, but she was, you know, going to in-person school and just, you know, being put at risk because she was around so many people and I didn't have an immune system. So we had to be like really, really careful with me. So that was really hard. But yeah, chemotherapy, you know, it's no joke. It's pretty rough. And especially there are certain days where you get different drugs, and the bleomycin days, it's like some of the worst days of my life. You know, I had couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, couldn't get out of bed. You know, I was having just the worst nausea you could imagine. There was a week where they had to take me back to the hospital because I couldn't keep crackers down. I just didn't eat hardly anything for a full probably 6 or 7 days. And it's like, they had to take me back in and, you know, put me on an IV and try to, you know, put me on more intense nausea medication. They ended up putting me on something that's meant to treat like psychosis because it was the only thing that could allow me to keep food down. And one thing I want to say is during that, you know, 3 or so months, one thing that really got me through and really helped me was the Discord, was the podcast and the Discord. And I wasn't very active because I'm, you know, totally zonked out chemo brain, you know, but I would just scroll through the Discord and see all the things. I would just listen to the podcast. When I went into chemo, I was like, I'm going to read books. I'm going to, you know, my family bought me a Switch. I was like, I'm going to play so many Switch games. I'm going to read so many books. And it's just like, you don't have the energy for any of it. So it was literally like such an easy thing to just put on a podcast, scroll the Discord, you know, and it was really, really helpful. You know, I didn't post a bunch in that time just because I literally like didn't have the mental kind of capacity or the energy, but just reading other people's stuff, you know, getting to like, pardon my French, shit on Mourinho a little bit with some other men. I was just like, you know, I wanted Spurs to be so good because I was like, if they're, you know, this can be my like one positive is like watching Tottenham every week and like lifting my spirits. And it was like kind of the worst period where like just full on Mourinho ball. And I didn't like Mourinho from the beginning, but like this, I was like, this is my one release, my one thing. And he has taken all the joy away from it. So it was very cathartic to like listen to the pod every week and, you know, go in the Discord. That was really nice. So yeah.
Thank you for saying that. That's really great that it helped you out. And I think we can put on record that Jose Mourinho is many, many things, but the main one is he's someone who tortures cancer patients, and
that
should be on his CV forever.
He steals joy, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe how much you've been through for such a sort of still young person.
Oh yeah,
and in a year when there's a pandemic ongoing too.
Yeah,
I mean, this must have taken such a huge toll on your emotional well-being and your mental health.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was difficult. I mean, I'm really lucky because like going in, I was like, I got to take care of my mental health. Like I've always been super passionate about mental health. I like try to do a little side mental health project podcast that have a couple episodes released of. So I knew going in like, hey, I need to start, you know, I need to get some anxiety medicine. I need to start something for, you know, like I already was feeling pretty depressed. I'm going to start something for that. And I started seeing a therapist, which was really helpful. You know, mental health medication was really helpful. I don't know how I would have gotten through it without that. And my partner too, you know, my fiance, you know, sacrificed so much. She took, you know, 6 months off school. She, you know, like spent her 6 months taking care of me, you know, being my caretaker pretty much 24/7, you know, watching me lose my hair, watching me lose weight, taking care of me when I, you know, couldn't sleep, when I couldn't eat, you know, all that sort of things, driving me to and from the hospital, you know, however many times a week. So yeah, it was a lot, but I was really lucky. It was kind of like, I definitely wasn't prepared for it, but I was very lucky in that, like, I had people to care for me. And also I wasn't afraid to start therapy, medicine, that sort of thing. Whereas like, I think the stigma prevents a lot of people from doing that, or they just don't know, you know, it's just a difficult thing. So yeah, finally finished chemotherapy in January of 2021, proposed to my fiance on Valentine's Day. So in February, and then got some follow-up scans after chemotherapy. Most of the cancer was gone. My tumor markers were way down. They were super happy. But they did some, you know, another CT scan, and the mass in my lymph nodes had actually stayed about the same and was one of the largest masses my oncologist had actually ever seen. So they were like, we got to do this surgery. It's called an RPLND, where they take out all of your lymph nodes. And it's a really intense surgery, really, really difficult, takes a really long time. There are very few surgeons who do it well. And it's kind of a thing where you need a surgeon who does a lot of them, because a lot of the people that do succumb or people that do die of testicular cancer don't die of the cancer itself. They die because the RPLND. Is, you know, it's right, especially my mass was right next to my aorta. So like, if you don't want a surgeon making a little slip and cutting your aorta or anything like that, which, has happened. So luckily the best place in the world, for testicular cancer treatment is Indiana University, IU, which is about 3 hours from Chicago. So I actually talked to my urologist who did my orchiectomy, and I said, hey, I need an RPLND. Can you do an RPLND? And he said, no, I can't. I said, can you recommend anyone in Chicago? He said, probably not. He said, but the, you know, if you go to Indiana University, they will, they're the number one, they do the most RPLNDs. The person who basically turned testicular cancer from a death sentence into highly curable still practices at Indiana University. His name's Dr. Einhorn. And my surgeon in Chicago hooked me up with Dr. Einhorn, who is the guy who discovered the or created the chemotherapy cocktail. He basically helped figure out the orchiectomy. He helped figure out the RPLND, and basically like is the father of testicular cancer treatment. So I got an appointment to see him. He went over everything with me. Is the nicest man I've ever met. Is the reason me and so many others are still alive because of the work he did in the late 70s, early 80s on testicular cancer treatment. And I figured he'd be like a big celebrity. He's like the nicest guy. He like talked to me for like 30 minutes about random stuff, gave me his personal cell phone number, and got me in with his he doesn't do surgery, but he's got me in with his best surgeon, who does, you know, tons and tons of RPLNDs, is like a world class, you know, people come in from all over the world to do RPLNDs with him. Had my RPLND to remove all the lymph nodes in my left side in March, the end of March, March 22nd. And they found out that was, it was teratoma, or no, it was, what they were concerned about was teratoma is a slow moving variety of cancer that can, you know, stick around in masses. And what they found is it's actually mostly dead tissue, which is really good. It's necrosis. So that put me in surveillance. I was officially no cancer detected after that. And yeah, I've been in surveillance ever since. You know, it was a really difficult surgery to recover from, but I've been back at work since probably early May now. I'm back, like, you know, been playing pickup soccer here and there. Been feeling good, still get a little pain, still have a little like chemo foggy brain. But yeah, been doing really well since then. I'm getting married Saturday. So that's very exciting. And yeah, that's been my story.
Just so relieved for you that things are looking up now, because that is, that's a hell of a story and a hell of a, trauma to go through.
Yeah.
Just a couple of things to follow up on. So this being the United States, you have to pay for treatment. It sounds like you kind of got lucky with some and not with others, but
yeah,
are you heavily out of pocket as a result of all of this?
Yeah. So in some ways I'm really lucky. In some ways, just being in the US makes you unlucky. So I got lucky in that. So the surgeon didn't take my insurance that did my orchiectomy, and he did it pretty much pro bono, because he was like, listen, you know, you don't have time to find someone else. We got to do it, but like, you don't take my insurance, I'm not going to charge you, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. So he basically did it and, you know, charged me, I think, a few hundred, which was crazy. But, you know, even with insurance, you know, chemotherapy is expensive, surgeries are expensive. I, you know, when they were doing a biopsy of my lung, they popped my lung. So I was in the, like, the intensive care for 2 days. That's expensive, even though it wasn't my fault. Even though they screwed up and popped the lung, I was still, you know, charged for that. All the ER trips, you know. So I got really lucky in that I have some people that really love me that set up, my younger brother set up a GoFundMe. Someone at my mom's work, you know, like gathered, you know, donations. You know, people have been really kind. You know, my parents, you know, have been, you know, basically pouring, you know, helping me out and making sure I'm not drowning in bills, which is really nice. So it's become a manageable thing. It definitely, like, you know, hit my savings, and then the GoFundMe kind of helped a lot. But like, we're still, you know, I'm still getting bills in. I'm still like, you know, it's, what's been really frustrating is, you know, I have a separate account that's like the GoFundMe money that's for medical stuff. And then normally if I get a bill in, I can, you know, just take it out of the GoFundMe money, pay that. But lately I haven't even been getting bills. I just get collector calls. I just get calls from collections about bills that I never received. And I'm like, it's affecting my credit. And I'm like, come on, like, if you would have given me this bill, I would have paid it. You know, like, I'm more than happy to pay this bill that was for, you know, the first round of chemotherapy. But you have to tell me, you have to tell me I need to pay it. And you can't, like, not say anything. And then, you know, however months later, I just get a call saying, oh, you have this many $1,000s in collections, and if you don't pay it, it's going to destroy your credit, you know. So it's very frustrating. the American medical system. I recently, because of the cancer diagnosis, I got on, and because I was semi-unemployed, I got on Medicaid. And Medicaid has been, you know, I didn't get on it until after the surgery. So it like didn't cover any of the cancer stuff. But like now all the follow-up scans and all the follow-up doctor's appointments and all the medication and stuff, it is covered. So Medicaid has been great. And I just am super surprised that we don't have, you know, a better system in this country. Not surprised, but disappointed. You know, it should be Medicare for all.
It just hampers you forever, doesn't it? I mean, and if you didn't have supportive parents and friends and, you know, your brother doing that amazing thing for you, I mean, what would you have done? You would have been in such a terrible position.
That's exactly true.
It's really concerning. This has been really, really fascinating. Obviously appreciate you being so open and transparent about everything. Is there anything that you'd like to share with people in terms of resources or I know you're like really trying to promote people to be careful and to check themselves. What would you recommend people go read?
So there's a couple things. So if you're in the UK, there's this great site run by a two-time survivor called, I think it's just testicularcancer.co.uk. And it's just got, they've recently revamped the site. It's just got lots of resources. It's got like information on how to check yourself. I'm pretty sure they have a forum. I don't know if they got rid of the forum, if they still have the forum, but there is a forum. The guy who runs the site is a lovely dude. You can message him and he'll, you know, he'll talk to you all day long about it. So that's, if you're in the UK, that's a good resource. If you're in the US, I recently got involved in the Testicular Cancer Foundation, which is, you know, they have a website, they have shirts. I just did a meetup for the first time with some fellow survivors. And they also have information on there about checking yourself. There's like little, they'll send you a little card, like a little card that you can put in your shower that's like laminated so it doesn't, you know, disintegrate in the water. And it just has, you know, explanation on how to do it and when to do it. And, you know, it's a little reminder. And they do a lot of great work, you know, reaching out with people that are currently going through it and survivors. And, you know, it's great resource of people. But I mean, even just Google like testicular cancer self-check, you know, you'll find plenty of Google results. You know, and like I said, you know, we're a large part of the fan base, I think, is in that, you know, in that demographic of, you know, people 15 to 40 or so that have testicles. So you are at risk, and it's a great idea to check yourself. Takes a couple minutes, could save yourself a lot of pain.
Very good advice, and that's a perfect place to end. Dakota, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.